With the private option funding issue addressed by the state legislature, attention for many political observers shifts to the 2014 election. Primaries are in just over 2 months, and in November, voters will decide who will be Arkansas's next governor, as well as make the determination in races involving five of Arkansas's six representatives in Washington. This week, Ruby Brock sat down with Skip Rutherford, the dean of the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service, to talk about Arkansas's election year. The conversation was on this weekend's edition of Talk Business and Politics on KATV in Little Rock. Joining Roby in the conversation were KATV reporters Scott Inman and Janelle Lilly. The conversation began with Arkansas's Senate race between incumbent Democrat Mark Pryor and Republican Congressman Tom Cotton.
I think this Senate race is clearly one of the most nationally significant races of the season. But since 1992, Arkansas has been at the top of the national debate on elections. So, you know, we now have become, with six electoral votes, a very important state where people are running for president, maybe running again in 2016, where our Senate race has become very important, where last time, or 6 years ago, 4 years ago, the potential chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee was defeated. And now in this election, it could be the control of the United States Senate. So it's sort of nice to be with a small state to be in the national limelight. And I think this is a pretty significant election.
Do you think that Tom Cotton has kind of weathered some of the attacks, though? I mean, I think that the prior campaign wanted to define him early as an extremist or outside of the mainstream, even for a conservative Arkansan. But he seems to me to have withered some of those attacks and even some of the votes that he's made in that. I mean, and that has made that race very competitive.
Well, this race is competitive, Robbie, but I think one of the factors that you and I have got to realize is that most people have not focused on the race yet. I mean, we're political groupies, we're political animals, but the average Arkansan, this is a long time between now and November. And so, you know, we're just now in March, so this is going to be a lot of focus. I think, unlike Lincoln Bozeman, which really was, the election was about Blanche Lincoln. I think Cotton's got some pretty extreme votes that he's going to have to work on. I mean, I think it's going to be significant. He's going to be pounded on. Wanting to privatize Medicare. That's pretty scary for the seniors.
Well, that excuse comes up all the time. I mean, allegation comes up all the time.
But look at the record. I mean, he voted against the Violence Against Women Act. This War on Women thing is big. His stand on student loans is a problem. The fact that he didn't vote for the farm bill, people say it's a budget issue. From a farm stability issue, and I got a lot of friends and family that are farmers, you know, knowing what to plant, when to plant, and how to plant, and some orderly system is important. And then I think the vote to deny federal aid to the victims of Hurricane Sandy. I think Cotton has got himself in a position that probably has made his victory or a chance of a victory much tougher than it could have been. Mm-hmm. Bozeman, on the other hand, against Blanche Lincoln, let Blanche Lincoln be the record. I think in this particular case, Cotton has made himself the record.
Well, and I'm curious about the outside interests that are coming in, because you mentioned a couple commercials that were not paid for by the prior campaign that are paid for by others. And do you think that's going to make a big impact in this national race?
You're going to see so much money pile in here on both sides on this race. So neither campaign is going to be short of money. This race right now is pretty much a dead heat. Both sides will tell you that privately. It's going to probably go down to the wire. It's too close to call right now. But you're going to see so much money come in here that it's going to be good for your TV station.
Is it going to make any? That's true.
That's
is it going to make any difference in the governor's race and in the Senate race? Well, usually you think about the governor's race almost setting a tone, but will it reverse this time?
Well, I think we've got two very close elections at the top of the ticket. I think everyone would agree that both of these races are still, you know, dead heats right now, very close. And I think anytime you have money coming in, it can make a difference. But I think both sides are going to be well funded.
What do you make of the ads that are running in the governor's race right now? You're seeing Mike Ross position himself as an independent, not using the Democrat label a whole lot in the ads that are on TV right now. And obviously not the Hutchinson campaign, but the outside money that are paying for the ads for Hutchinson right now, they're trying to get Ross mentioned with Obama and Pelosi as much as possible. Talk about that. Does he risk, does Mike Ross risk alienating any Democrats by consistently drumming the independent theme?
Scott, maybe 4 to 6 years ago he might have, but in this environment, no. I don't think there's any question that the Democrats will line up solidly behind Ross. I don't think there's any issue there. So I think Ross has a lot of leeway to move in terms of independent and taking more moderate stands. I don't think that impacts him from the Democratic vote. I think the real issue that Ross is gonna have to do in this race is that as the state is trending R, and the great race was when Mark Dar beat Shane Broadway, and it was because he had an R by his name. I think that's the battle Ross has got to face.
But you also, you mentioned it too, you got the Obama factor in there. It's playing in the governor's race, it's playing in the U.S. Senate race. It is still the most potent weapon that Republicans have, and they are tying it to every potential candidate.
I mean, six times in one ad.
Well, and even I've seen justices of the peace attack for being Democrats and tying them to Obama in parts of Arkansas. I mean, Obama is the X factor in this race. Do you not agree?
Well, Obama is a factor in this race because he's a very polarizing candidate, particularly in Arkansas. You go back to the 2008 Democratic primary for president, the state where Hillary Clinton got the most votes percentage-wise. Now, it's not surprising because she's from Arkansas, but the fact is that it was Clinton versus Obama. Arkansas has never voted for Barack Obama. So this is not just the Republicans pounding on Obama. There are a lot of Democrats that never forgave Obama for challenging Hillary.
Why don't we turn our attention to the presidential race? You brought some buttons in.
I did. Those are for you, Robert.
Hillary for president 2016, Mike Huckabee for president 2016.
You have to wear them both, though.
Who's going to win?
Well,
which one wins?
Well, let's just say that they're both leading in their respective primaries in the polls in Iowa. Yeah. The latest Iowa poll has Hillary Clinton leading the D's and Mike Huckabee leading the R's. When we talk about Arkansas politics, doesn't get any better than this. I mean, you know, this is it for political groupies from all sides, for people to participate in campaigns. I mean, this trend started back in 1992, and we've had Bill Clinton, we've had Wesley Clark, we've had Mike Huckabee, we've had Hillary Clinton, and now we may have Clinton and Huckabee again in 2016. This is really remarkable for a small state. Mm-hmm. I mean, the two front runners, now you could argue one lives in Florida and one lives in New York, you could make that point, but I think both claim Arkansas.
They do.
Yeah. And they're front runners in Iowa. It's a big deal.
Pretty amazing, too. I mean, Hillary is, if you look at the narrative on it, is already in. Mm-hmm. There are groups raising money for her. I mean, is there any way she doesn't run at this point?
Oh, I don't know. I've not talked to her about running. I saw her last week in Washington. We didn't talk about her running for president.
You're probably the only person who hasn't asked her.
I did not ask her about running for president. But I would say that when you look at Hillary Clinton's chances, when you just look at it, Scott, and take a look, a lot of people in politics say you got to follow the money. I think you got to follow the map. And following the map means tell me a state in 2012 that Barack Obama won that Hillary Clinton's not going to win. And then let's throw some other ones in the mix. Arkansas, North Carolina, Louisiana, Georgia.
Do you think she could win Arkansas, or do you think she'd just be competitive in Arkansas and force them to spend resources?
I think Hillary Clinton could win Arkansas.
You think?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I agree with you on
that.
If Huckabee's running, too?
Well, it'd be two out-of-state candidates running.
Right. You know, exactly.
And they really are from Florida and New York, respectively.
One more thing on the Clintons, and this centers around the Clinton Library. Politico's run two stories this week talking about the release of some files. Initially, they weren't going to be released. Now some of them are starting to be released. We always seem to have a good conspiracy theory around the Clintons here. Set the record straight on what's going on with these Clinton Library
much
files.
As much as I can set the record straight. First of all, Josh Gerstein, the reporter for Politico, has done a really good job on that story. I got to give him credit for it. What happens is, after a president leaves office, there is a 12-year period where those papers are withheld. They're looked at, they're categorized, but after the 12-year period, then a certain number of papers in certain categories above my pay grade are released. Clinton's 12-year period expired in 2013. What happens at that point is, from the expiration date, two parties review the papers. One, the current president, one, the former president. So in this particular case, are the one whose papers were. The Clinton people reviewed them, the Obama people reviewed them. When they review them and say they're okay, they're ready for release. If they don't say any of them are okay, they pull them back and claim executive privilege. Last week, 5,000 pages were released out of approximately 33,000. I don't believe any of those pages contain any executive privilege. It is my understanding, based on the people that I've talked to at the Clinton Library, that the remaining 28,000 will trickle out over the next couple of weeks.
Skip Rutherford, the dean of the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service, talked about Arkansas's electoral politics with Roby Brock this week. The conversation was part of the program Talk Business and Politics, seen on KATV in Little Rock. We also heard the voices of Janelle Lilly and Scott Inman, reporters with KATV. You can see more from the interview at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. For more, ArkansasStateChamber.com.